so much better. That great pronunciation, by the way. Well, that wasn't an easy thing to do.
Thanks.
We're riding down the coast on a rejuvenated Vespa that I reimagine now in hot chili red. When on the way into Biarritz it gives out, I should have said by his grease monkey shuffle and the way his Vespertilian eyes peered from the dark, the mechanic wasn't to be trusted. Then out of the haze comes farting a VW camper, all daisy yellow and peppermint green. A pair of Etonians at the wheel with room to maneuver. You see, they've done the scene of the Bay of Biscay, and they're really convinced they're going our way. We had just surfaced from a week in the dunes on burgundy and blue. And with your hair getting tangled in the sand, and no driftwood coming to hand, we cast the runes to the moonlit night and head to the hills where we found our own Esperanto. English, French, raveled with Castellano and mine. In the evenings, we passed a wheel of Comté from hand to hand, nicking and slicing with a cook's knife, widening the way, till we fell asleep under the sage roof. I'd seen this room and walked this floor and wanted more and more to sing hallelujah. But as I closed the shutters, I caught the sheep's head in the yard below. The bloodstain and the crack across its skull pointing north. While behind me, as you sat sweeping the ashes from the grave, you felt in the back of your neck the southern wind blow. Thank you. Just to warm myself up more than anything else. Thank you all very much for sitting here this evening. Huge thanks to Paul for the invitation. It's an absolute joy, a huge pleasure to be here. I've just come down via Monaghan to Dublin. I was in Cork the day before yesterday. I went up to Listowel to see Brendan Kennelly. Spent a few hours with him. He's doing particularly well. He still has that 6-year-old glint in his eye. I mean, the man at 8 years of age and somewhat frail can still recite Blake Kavanagh himself like that, no problem. And it's a joy to spend a bit of time with a man like Brendan, who is at George and Iran, I believe. He's not one of us, although he is one of us in the sense of a poet. So yeah, it's a great pleasure to be here tonight. We're going to journey through several places where I have lived and where I continue to live, Inishmore, North Spain. I think we might stop off in Cork for a while, in Dublin, in Tala, in Salamanca, in Vigo, and various places that I've spent some time and written some poems about. But I want to start tonight with a wee poem for Michael Hartnett, whose birthday it is today. So this is Happy Birthday for Michael Hartnett. And I've taken the line from a wonderful line by Paula Meehan, who captured it when she was given a workshop down Newcastle West. A little kid put his hand up and said, Miss, I live in Michael Hartnett. There's a Michael Hartnett close right there. And this is, I too live in Michael Hartnett. I too live in Michael Hartnett, but not in Newcastle West, nor the Tyrconnell Road, Inchy Core, where down the black horse my hand lit on Angie's leg, we flickered to the lonesome pub top. No, I live here in Michael Hartnett, my arms thrown wide to the spasm of the rosary turn of Spain. You know, it gets cold here when the phone doesn't ring, but a rap on the door brings Michael and Federico, who take a spin around the kitchen floor. Oh, the dance, as we all give the southern romance a gypsy ballad turn, and I pour us each great cups of the sweet, sweet red wine. And for a period, you can probably tell from that and from Bernadette's introduction that I live in Spain. I've lived in Spain for 8 years now, in Salamanca, and the last 3 years in Vigo, on the Atlantic coast, very close to Cork in spirit. It's an old shipbuilding city, fish canneries. But before I lived there, I was out on Inishmore for a couple of years, way back when. I used to go out there a lot in the summers when I was in college, and I always wanted to stay. So this one year I decided, no, I'm going to stay and see if I can face off the winter. The winter obviously won, and as you hear, I had to leave. So it's a magical place out on the islands if you ever been out there. So I'm going to read you three short poems from that time out on the islands. And the first is Dunaeus. It takes a line from Van Morrison. It was great company when I was out there. I met a reveller once who told me of a vast and desperate space on the cliffs of Inishmore. He raised his hand in the air, saying how after 7 years, an island appeared on the horizon. He tried to relate everything he'd seen up there, half a mile high. But all he could say was, it stunned me. The half door. Grey stones, grey walls, grey sky over grey sea. Sheets of rain pass from the Atlantic and it's 5 miles to town. The fridge door won't keep, the fridge door won't close and the milk won't keep. So I've learned to drink my tea black. I stoke the range for encouragement and dream of French breads I butter and eat as quick as you could bake them. And these grey stones, grey walls, grey sky over grey sea. Sheets of rain pass from the Atlantic, that's 5 miles to town. Whatever did we talk about in those days? Quiet, the loneliness, or the chance of aurora borealis. Maybe we should have just painted all those stone walls. Harebell blue, centauri pink, ladies' bedstraw yellow, wildflower colours of spring and November instead of this intolerable grey. Grey stones, grey walls, grey sea, grey sky over grey sea. Sheets of rain pass from the Atlantic and it's 5 miles to town. And this third one is called Three Ways to Catch a Mackerel. Mark the pier wall from the hill, then add an hour each day to a high tide. You find that at midnight you cast off Glasson Rock into the suck and swell below, and you break the moonlit runway into the phosphorus. With a laugh of a curragh, feather as you float on the turning of the tide. Beneath the keel, shoals of silver mackerel streak the water, probe the meniscus furrow. At sunrise, cycle west, and with a mackerel skin, hoist up horse mask mackerel gasping for air. The blue silica, silver. At sunrise, cycle west, and with a mackerel skin, hoist up horse mackerel gasping for air. Silver blue of the black silica. Tear the serrated knife edge through needle wounds and feel life shudder. I think I'm going to read you a translation because, as Bernadette mentioned, a lot of my work is translation work. And I adore it because if you're not writing yourself, well, you can always be writing someone else. and convince yourself you're actually doing some work, you know? If you get paid for it, it's even better. And one of the things of living abroad and living in other languages is you spend half the time lost and hanging on people's words and watching facial expressions and jumping and diving and being, I suppose, as a kind of a paraphrase, lost, happy and somehow feeling at home. But you also doubt yourself even bloody more than you already do as a poet. So I found a great poem by the wonderful Catalan poet Jaime Gil de Biedma. And he wrote a poem called Contra Jaime Gil de Biedma, which literally means against Jaime Gil. He was kind of writing against his own persona. I translated it as the contrary Jaime Gil. And it goes like this. What's the point of moving house? Of dumping this cave that's darker already than my name? That's saying something. Put up a few net curtains, take in a maid, renounce the boho life. If it's only for you, you bore, to come trotting along, you bloody drone, useless git, suited tool, moron, you're an embarrassment. With your little washed mitts, coming to eat off my plate and dirty my house. Sure, you're holding up the bars in the late night pits, pimps and florists. The dead streets of the dawn and you coming home pissed to fluorescent lifts. Where you catch yourself, catching yourself in the mirror. Your face hacked, your eyes coal holes in the snow that you don't want to close. I ought to give you a good talking to, but you'd only laugh. Shit. You remind me of all those days and nights that tell me I'm aged. You know, I can tell you've lost your moves. That breezy air and devil may care attitude are pony tricks now that you're over the hill and well into your 40s. And as for that doe-eyed smile, yeah, the one they all fall for. Sunday's left course. It's pathetic. And all the while you look at me with those little orphan eyes and weep, 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 and promise I won't do it again. Jesus, if you weren't such a gimp, and if I hadn't known for such a long time that your pep is my decrepitude, the rock you perish on, my rock, your comings and goings have me skittily panicked, sunk in a blue funk of fear, tetchy to be down in the hole once more. Oh, the shame is unforgivable of you getting too close for comfort. Sure, I'll take you to bed with me. But believe me when I tell you it's hell on wheels, dripping impotently over the furniture, dying with every step we sway arm in arm, groping around the room and across the floor, drunk and sobbing. Oh, the lot of man in love. What's even worse, to be in love with yourself. Good, isn't it? Jaime Gil, he, a bit like Pessoa, a Portuguese poet, completely embodied these various persona that he had. He was an essayist, and a prose writer, and a poet. And he decided, quite young in his life, in his mid-late 40s, that the persona who was the poet had written everything he had to say. And he stopped writing poetry, and went on to write some marvelous essays. And he himself, which is rare in Spain, he had spent some time in Cambridge, Oxford, Cambridge, I think. I had read a lot of the English language poets, so he'd broken from that somewhat tiresome at times golden era of Spanish poetry. And that's what gave him great individuality in the Iberian poetry scene. A wonderful poet. There is a small volume of selected, translated into English by New Orleans academic and translator, but he is due a hell of a lot more translations.
How do you spell his name?
Gil de Biedma. G-I-L-D-E-B-I-E-D-M-A. Jaime Gil de Viedma. I'll tell you later if any more of you want it. Okay, well, I think we continue the journey in Spain. And someone asked me the other day, again, why'd you go to Spain? And I followed the language down. I was actually on the bus to Cork one Christmas in the snow. I was coming down to see a friend of mine. I decided on that bus to come down and go to Spain. So I went and bought a map the next day. Fuck, I realised how big it was. And I've been living there ever since, trying to find a way all around the map. But one of the early inspirations for Spain was these my teens in Tala. And like you still have every year here, those hordes of Spanish students who come over the hill to learn English and just brighten a very dull, concrete, suburban existence for many of us. So this is called No Magic Here. It's a line from Yvonne Boland's Ode to Suburbia. I'm going to try and show you that, in fact, there was magic here. No magic here, but the streak of orange batteries landing thunk on the chipper van's roof. A plague of near hits and near kisses as we sat ringed in the green, till cresting the hill from the south came the Spanish. Warm, rosewood smiles and ringlets rolling down to where we sat knotted together. Each of their names uncarving our lips as we spoke to Maria Jose, Luzmar, Isabel, and Almudena. And we all felt the swell of Depeche Mode's I Just Can't Get Enough. I just can't get enough. My school sensibilities unspooled after one Andalusian summer, and I cast lisping flirts at the Castilians who asked. We lay across river runs of spit, arced from between the gap in a hard man's teeth. Yes, I will. Will you sing me the difficulties of making love in a Sin Camille, and you still knowing nothing but a kiss? Absolutamente. I will. And will you lather false tan and hop piebald blotched across the dance floor into these brazos? Indudablemente. I will, I said. Yes. I will. And we sat wrapped in the suburban wind while the net curtains of decency were still in a Tala housing estate, because they knew there was no magic here. Cheers. And one of the things about doing readings in Spain, which I've been doing for a couple of years, many years, is that people tend to love how you sound, you know. Oh God, that was great, that sounds wonderful. And then maybe you might try and engage them in a conversation later, and you realize, oh no, I didn't understand a word you said. I had a clue what you were talking about, but it sounded great. I thought, yeah, I'll get to the bit, cover this. So I set myself the task of writing a series of poems that would incorporate both languages, and that potentially could be understood by a Spanish speaker and by an English speaker. So here's one of them, and it's called Learning the Language. My intention is to entender everything you say. So please, enséñame. Ensnare me in your pillow talk. Just keep it soft. My head is like a rock today. You're a sniper in my ear, a Franco tirador taking shots. And I need more of your tesoro, a treasure for my thesaurus. And who would deplore us are our own. You've broken my fast, and I'm hungry for more, but you must rise to disfrazarse, draw tight the strings of your purse. A gash of red makes you streetwise and workaday. and following your form, I learn your lines and take from your lips this lesson. Which I suppose defies all sorts of language teaching, when really pillow talks when you get the best language class. Although it tends to be limited. I suppose you start with the anatomy, you know, and take it from there. It's quite handy. This is another Spanish poem, which comes from a beautiful word. One of my favourite flowers is the poppy, simple poppy. And in Spanish, it's called the amapola. And in that amapola, you know, I was trying to set up a mnemonic to remember it. And I heard ama, amar, to love, and po, lass, a poor lass. So I thought of the love for a poor lass, and the love for a poor Scottish lass. So this is poem for the love of a poor Scottish lass who's adrift on a boat in a lake in Salamanca. A first date row on the lake with poppies, and a sweet pastry that too delicate falls apart, so we lean toward fundamental Latin. Amore, copulare, fumare. After which I pour us tots of tart Rioja, serving with aubergine cups like those berets you'll find at any backstreet bar. That's me in the corner, a torero with toothpicks taunting a paper bowl around the countertop. A swivel of the hips and the toothpick banderillas hit home, but oh, one comes unstuck and the crowd roars, miedo, as the shirted curate flicks his ash and serves us up a tot of tart Rioja. I lose myself in REM's losing my religion, for the lengths that I will go through, the distance in your eyes. Cheers. I'm going to give you two more translations from the wonderful, amazing Argentinian poet Juan Gelman. Published some of these translations, not these particular ones, but some from the series in that great Southward magazine, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. Is he? Patrick? How are you doing? How's it going? A great supporter of poetry and translation, which if you were to go home now and clear your shelves of all the translated books, you wouldn't have a lot left to read. Juan Gelman was exiled from Argentina during the dictatorship. They had disappeared his son and pregnant daughter-in-law, who were never found again. He managed 30 years later to find his grandson, who had been given to a Catholic family in Uruguay. But Gelman traveled all over Europe, and for years later, he didn't write for 4 or 5 years, because he felt that the exile's jaw is broken, and the exile just can't speak and can't incorporate the language into their mouth. And when he did come back, he wrote a book called Bajo la Lluvia Ajena, which literally means under the distant rain, but I translated it as under the barbaric rain. And these are just two poems about the exile and the exile's position. Poem number 3. I won't be ashamed of my sadness, my nostalgia. I miss the back street where they killed my dog, and where I cried beside his body. Where I'm stuck to the pavement with my dog's blood as he died. I'm still alive since that day. It's what keeps me alive. It's what I am. And I'll ask nobody's permission to be nostalgic. Maybe I'm different. There were military dictatorships, civil governments, and more military dictatorships. They took away my books. They took away my bread. They took away my son. They drove my mother to despair. They banished me. They assassinated my little brothers. They tortured my friends. They tore them to pieces. They broke them. No one removed me from the street or I'm crying beside my dog. No dictatorship could do that. And what military bastard will remove my great love of the gloaming in May, where the soul's flight is balanced on the night? My country wasn't perfect before the military coup, but it was mine, the times I trembled against love's barricades, the times I was a boy, a dog, a man, the times I loved and was loved back. No general is going to strip my country of all that. The land I watered with my love, with a little or a lot. Land that I miss and that misses me. Land where no military will muddy my mind or leave its grime. It's right that I miss her. We always loved each other like this. She asking more of me. Me asking more of her. Both hurting from the pain we inflict on each other. Both strengthened by the love. I love you, motherland, and you love me. That love, it smoulders imperfections, it smoulders lives. From poem 10, exile. You'd be more bearable without so many professors of exile, so many sociologists of exile, so many bloody poets of exile, groaners of exile, students of exile, exiled professionals, good souls weighing in their hands the more or the less. What's carried over, the division of distances, the two by two of this misery. One man divided by two is not two men. Who the fuck dares to multiply my soul?
Okay, yeah, Van Gelman. A lot of his, again, he's had a lot of his poems translated somewhat, unfortunately, indifferently in one or two cases. But who is it? I think it's Ark, possibly in the UK, another great translation supporter, have one or two of his books you can find online. Wonderful. He went so far back through language. He'd gone through Spanish, Italian, English. He went back to Sephardi, the old Jewish Iberian language, and started working back from there, because he felt through his experiences in the various dictatorships and military coups that the languages had been so brutalized as he had been that he kind of had to go back and back and back. Wonderful man. Died only 2 years ago in January. So I'm going to do something very risky here, which is read three brand new poems, which are still in pencil in the Muji book. I've spent the last couple of weeks up in Annamcarrig, in Monaghan. I'm going back there next week for 8 more days. And these are the beginnings of what will be the next book, about 2 or 3 years down the line, that I think will be a themed book as opposed to a loose collocation of what's in the bottom of the drawer. So I'll just read through these three and you'll probably get the idea of what they're about. They involve a lot of cycling and the north of Spain and my mother. My mother phones to ask, can I find her? Once more. My mother phones to ask, can I find her a bicycle to cycle the Camino? Now I won't let her go alone. So together we decide what to put in the panniers. Chocolate, plasters, factor 50, a large tub of pseudocreme. We even cycle to the train station, the pair of us weaving through the traffic on our own university rental bikes. Our red and white rental bikes. You know, it shouldn't be allowed what we did to those rental bikes. We've wrapped our gear in lemon yellow pannier covers to keep an eye on each other across the mountains. Here's Kate now coming around the bend, her blonde head pistoning from side to side, impenetrable to the heat, as if her boilermaker father had tempered her in the forge at Inchicore, where he worked for the rail company when work there was. When not, he took the bus north to the Belfast shipyards, where they worked in pairs back to back, one riveting and the other watching for falling rivets. Strapped to his leg, he smuggled candles home on the bus, and each burning candle held the curved form of the heat of his shinbone. Finally, we climbed the winding stair from where we could see the barefoot girl in the square with just a sardine can in her hand, while the arms and legs of other men were scattered all around. The shutters down, the terrazza closed, and history blows the dust around her as the tanks roll in. The men's muddy boots slip on the stones, the shoulder to the wheel, they avoid her. The knees bent, the head down low, the shoulder to the wheel, as they rumble the heavy guns across the square, through winter, where she still stands there, calm, held in her hand. A soldier breaks rank, walks out towards her. They cannot see him, they never will, they never lift their heads, and soon the steps he left behind will be filled by snow. And I think one more, last one.
Yeah,
great,
perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, thanks. We've just come out in 31 minutes. Let's talk about there. Really quickly to introduce this, and it's a short one. You probably gathered that before, not as a race, as an individual, as individuals, before we kind of grasped language and the ability to communicate, we all sang, you know? Did you go around in hordes singing, in my case, songs from the Pixies, the Doors, Morrison, Christy Moore, and that's how you communicate. And when I was looking back or listening back to my early 20s when I lived in Kildare, I realised that's how we talked to one another before we could actually express ourselves with vulnerability or with openness. So I wrote this series of poems that incorporated all those song lines and album titles and whatnot, because I have a feeling they speak. One title or one album name can announce a whole period of your formation, I guess. So this is to say goodbye, or hasta luego, we'll see you later, and to say thank you very much once more for your attention and for the Avail night. Long may it run, long may it be plugged in. It's great to hear all your 5-word poems tonight. Absolutely brilliant idea, absolutely love it. It's great. And thanks to Bernadette as well for hosting me. Okay, this is when, as soon as I can find it, which will take me 2 seconds. This is called, should be there, Strange Boat. Yeah, Strange Boat from the Waterboys. Okay, most of these lines are stolen, pinched from music that you recognize if you're in your late 30s, early 40s. Strange Boat. Convinced you'd found a near wild heaven, you wouldn't give up. You had to debase it on a wave of mutilation. Pills, thrills, and belly aches. Happy Mondays, suicidal Tuesdays. Chasing that sweet stuff got you well on your way to blue. Till this is the end, you finally said, and stepped out into the purple rain. Well, you've had your last cry before dawn. Now it's time to punch the clock. I know you're far away at sea with a bad case of the fisherman's blues. You long to hear the dew drop, but that's another kind of blue. All you need to do is let go, stay afloat, and keep your head on this strange boat. Thanks very much. Yes.